T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Zeiss and Starkey here at your command and hopefully at your call here for the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon to benefit the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. We're already up to 80,000 meals. We plan to significantly increase that, Paul, before the show is done. This is something that we've done every year. Ron and I were honored to do it every year. The Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon sponsor, Spitzer Toyota, Bill Few Associates Wealth Management, Hampton Beer Outlet, Wiggle Whiskey, Pittsburgh Regional Transit, and Dollar Bank. And you can donate at the Metropolitan Window Company online donation center. That's very easy to do. That's at 937thefan.com. You can text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155, or you can call us at 412-663-5664. That's 663-5664. And know this, that $1 equals three meals. $1 equals three meals. Last year, 2 million more meals were provided because of the increased need. So again, it's absolutely an honor to do this. If I could find my pen, that would be great. The Power Hour, this Power Hour, 10 a.m., brought to you by Santel Landscaping. Paul, it's good to have you back. And I ask you at the start here, we're going to talk a ton of sports today, too. Ron and I used to talk about this, that for as many jackasses as there are in the world of sports, they're far outnumbered, I've found, by good, decent human beings. I really honestly have found that. Covering the Penguins as a beat writer, covering sports all these years, interacting with all these people. It really is mostly good people if a lot of times they don't get the headlines.
No question about it. I think there's, you know, it's funny. We spend so much time and energy talking about the jackasses, and that's part of the problem. Is they get a lot of publicity, right? But you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, you know what? A lot of times they're a lot more entertaining. That's part of the problem, too. Is that, you know, talking about the jackasses. But the bottom line is there, I have found in this business, there are far, far more people who are willing to really try and make a difference in the community. And part of it, too, is a lot of athletes, you know, whether it's baseball players, whether it's hockey players, football players, whatever, that they've come from modest and maybe even worse circumstances and situations. And a lot of them never forget where they came from. And they never forgot that, hey, you know what? When I was growing up, I didn't have millions of dollars in the bank and, you know, all the other stuff that comes with being a superstar athlete. So I need to jump in and help and do the best I can do to try and make this world a better place. You know, and I mean, that's really what this is all about. Is us as a community just sort of embracing people maybe who don't have as much. You know, I think about it. You've got a kid. You know, you've got two, actually, right? One's grown.
Yeah, yeah. Stepson, Michael. Right. Daughter, Marianne.
But
yeah.
But your stepson you were with when he was young. And your daughter, I mean, think about how hard it would be if you had to tell them, hey, listen, you got to go to bed tonight. We don't have anything to give you to eat.
I think about stuff like that all the time. When something great happens, one thought I have a lot is I wish everybody could enjoy things like this,
yes.
But not everybody can.
No.
And that it just sucks. It really does.
It's one of the reasons, you know, like you have to, you know, keep a really good perspective that, you know, even though there's days, you know, where we're not happy with what we're doing or we're not excited about what we're doing or, you know what I mean? You're having a bad day. You always have to keep in perspective. You know what? You and I, and then pretty much, you know, everybody that works at this station, and we have a pretty good life, you know what I mean, compared to a lot of people. So it's important always to be civic-minded and give back, because if you don't, you know, I just feel like I'm not a big karma guy, except for I think that people who are always selfish and always self-centered and never empathetic or willing to help or give back, sometimes I think, you know what, those people are going to lose everything they got, because that's just how the world handles it. So, you know, I just feel like it's important to be a big to be somebody who helps the community and helps out others that aren't as fortunate. And I think, to your point, your overall point, I think that most of the people that we've met in this business, athletes, the overwhelming majority of them, are really, really good about that and are good people.
Yeah, man. And it's easy. I know it would be easy to pay lip service to that on a day like this, but it's honestly the way I feel. Like you've been with teams regularly, and so have I, back with the Penguins starting in 97, 98. And yeah, of course, there were some jerks on the team, but even the jerks did some good work in the community. And by far and away, it was just going into that locker room on a daily basis and talking to people who, with the exception of the fact that they have a very special talent, have all the same stuff going on in their lives that you and I do.
Right.
They're the same as us. So again, this is a chance for all of us really to band together and help folks out. And you can text NEED, NEED, to 50155. Metropolitan Window Company Online Donation Center. Go there. If you're online, 937thefan.com. Be very easy to navigate, or give a call to 412-663-5664. And tons of people helping out today. We have people from the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank working right out in these hallways. We're going to talk to Jennifer in a little while. Brian Gulish is going to come on with an update here. We've already helped raised 80,000 meals out there. And remember, $1 equals 3 meals. Everybody pitching in today. Chris Hoke's going to join us. Jay Caulfield. Mark Garda over at the Pirates has been a tremendous help to the station and our show in particular today. So a lot going on today with this, the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. You were going to say something.
Yeah,
Paul.
Well, I was going to say, to your point, one of the biggest hammerheads that I ever covered, I think I've told this story several times, was Larry Johnson, you know, Grandmama.
The basketball. I thought you meant the Penn State running back.
No. Larry Johnson, Grandmama, the basketball player. When I worked at the NBA, covered the Knicks, and he was not, let's just say, he was one of the tougher people to cover because he was such a you-know-what.
Yeah.
But even him, he built youth homes for boys in Charlotte where he played, in Dallas where he was from, and in New York. He had three different charities that were designed to help young men in crisis, maybe who don't have a father, who are, you know, one step away from juvenile detention. He put together a huge charity, you know. So to your point, even the bad guys usually are pretty good about giving back.
Absolutely. And here's the treat for the first hour, Paul. You and I are involved in this. One person this hour, and this is this hour's incentive, who donates $50 plus, so it's a minimum donation of $50, somebody out there among those donors will win a round of golf with Zeiss and Starkey at a site to be determined.
Okay.
And guess what happened? I had two birdies yesterday.
Oh,
I also blew up like the Bills in a Super Bowl. And now I can't stop thinking of you. I think you were subtly getting in my head the other day when you said, he's getting better, but I just wait for him to blow up. And every time I start to blow up now, I think of you saying that. Yesterday, I had a birdie at Moon on number 3, that little par 4 uphill. And then I had a bad tee shot, and it was like Thurman Thomas losing his helmet. And then I fell apart on the next hole to a 10.
So three. So let me think. Three.
You shoot the tee shot way up the hill. It should probably be a par 3, but it's a par 4, right?
Wait.
And I birdied it.
Is that 3 or 4?
Four. That's four.
Yeah, okay.
That's four.
That's what I was
saying. Yeah.
That's four. So you hit a good tee shot?
Very good tee shot. An even better chip.
Okay.
And then I was playing with friends of Doran Dickerson from West Allegheny, whose names I forget except for Donnie. And they witnessed it. But then the next hole, there's a term for that I can't say on the air. It's called post-birdie blank blank.
Well,
and I fell apart, and then you were in my head, and I started seeing visions of you saying, yeah, but he falls apart, and I fell apart. I let one bad shot lead to another.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's the other thing. That next hole is the hardest hole on the course.
I know.
Isn't it? It's the number one handicap hole, so that would be 5.
Yeah.
That's the number one handicap hole on the course, so... Let me guess. You hit a bad tee shot right?
Left. I pulled it all the way down to the other fairway. I hit the fairway. Unfortunately, it was 2 holes
over.
Wow,
that's very far down.
Yeah.
Because usually right is the problem shot there.
Yes. Left. Well, I've done that too.
Left is open enough that you can just kind of bang it back up to the fairway and then get it up there.
Unless you hit it off a tree in your next shot, which I did.
But
with your voice in my ear the whole time, even though you weren't there.
And then, so what was your other birdie hole?
Was the little par 3, number 7. Unbelievable tee shot that I was very happy about.
Number 7. Oh, the one by
right
the road.
Right along the road.
Yeah, by the road.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Very happy with that.
And then the next.
Then I quit.
The next hole you.
I had to go. I only played 7 holes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, the next hole you blew up like the.
Like the Bills in a Super Bowl. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Great. Great job today setting up the people that we're going to talk to. We're still working on some others. Again, thanks to the Pirates for helping the show in particular today on a really good cause. And we got a bunch of people to talk to. Hopefully Steige here at 11 o'clock. And yes, one person this hour out of hopefully many who donate a minimum of $50 will win a golf round with Zeiss and Starkey.
And that's considered a prize, right?
That I think, yeah. Not a punishment. That's a prize. We'll both be on our best behavior that day, right, Paul?
Always. I'm always except on my best sometimes. Behavior. Right, except for sometimes.
Here's how you donate. Text NEED to 50155. Give us a call, 412-663-5664. And then the Metropolitan Window Company Online Donation Center. Go to 937thefan.com. All right. Speaking of the...
Did you mention the champion thing?
No, which thing?
Amy wanted me to make sure we mentioned that tote board out there where you get your...
Oh, yeah. That's where Jennifer is, right?
Where you get your name on it. If you donate $11 a month, you're feeding somebody every day for the entire year.
That's exactly right.
And we call that the Feed the Need Champion.
That's exactly right. Yes. And Jennifer's going to come in and join us and talk about that. But speaking of the Pirates, couple stories here. For one, Paul, they opened the season. We could start as simple as this. How many wins? But there's also some negative things brewing, like this Domingo Germán story in NewJersey.com by Randy Miller. I don't know if that's the same guy who used to write about the Phillies and is from Pittsburgh. I don't know. But it's not a very, very flattering piece on Germán. The headline is, alcohol ruined Domingo Germán's Yankees career, but he still drinks because, quote, I don't have a problem. That doesn't sound great.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's working very well, right?
That doesn't sound great. The back and forth with Ben Charrington, we spent a lot of time. The reporter asked Charrington, who would not address Herman's insistence that he's never had a drinking problem, and said he would issue a statement, Charrington did. So he wouldn't address that. But then Miller gets a quote a few hours later from Charrington that says, and I quote, "We spent a lot of time and talked to a lot of people this offseason in order to learn more about Domingo. We did that in order to answer two questions," Charrington said. "One, has he and is he doing the work necessary to grow as a person and as a pitcher? And two, do we have the resources to help him? Based on the work we did, we felt confident in offering Domingo an opportunity on a minor league contract to continue his work with our help," end of quote. Well, anybody who reads this story is going to have some serious questions about why the Pirates made this investment, small as it was, in Herman. That's what I have to say, Paul. But the larger story to me gets back to them taking, you know, a bunch of dumpster dives again this offseason.
Right.
I think they're interesting. I think they have a chance to be really exciting in some ways in a crap division. I don't know. I've been reading about the NL Central. What? Fangraphs has 83 wins winning the division, but they've left themselves short on the rotation end of it because they didn't go out and sign somebody, or they apparently drew the line, I guess, at Trevor Bauer, even though I have other guys who have been involved in alleged domestic incidents in Chapman, Jiwon Bae, and Herman. Bottom line, they didn't fix the rotation. So I'm pegging them at 79 wins. Thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. What bothers me about that is we talked about him. We talked about...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Aroldis Chapman. We talked about Jiwon Bae, but yet they won't sign Trevor Bauer because of some moral high ground they're taking or something, which is silly.
I guess Mackey tells us it's separate from this, that they think he's just a jerk, whatever it might be. Okay, then go out and spend money on somebody then.
So you mean a guy who is an alcoholic who's saying, you know what, I still drink it, like I don't got a problem. A guy who's had alcohol issues, he's not a jerk.
Alleged alcohol. Allegedly has alcohol problems,
whatever.
Might be the best way to phrase it.
Whatever the problem is. Well, you know, what's frustrating to me about the Pirates is they're so close. They're so on the cusp.
Yes.
Of really getting things the right, getting it done. And they're jagging around with this kind of nonsense. They won't sign a guy like Trevor Bauer for whatever the league minimum is. And at least your fourth or fifth. If he's your fourth or fifth starter, your rotation is better. They're going to mess around with the service time stuff with Paul Skenes. It just gets to a point where, are you trying to win or not?
Yes. Now.
There's no excuse not to. Because the other thing, as you said so eloquently, the division is crap.
It is.
It's only going to take 86, 87
Every
wins
game,
to win it.
These games in March and April are as important as the ones in September. Can certainly make the ones in September important.
Right.
All you got to do is hang around 500, and you're going to be in it in this division.
I just don't get it.
Everybody picks the Pirates to finish last.
Right.
Everybody. And the over-under is about 75.5. What do you have as a win total for them?
I have them, what did they have, 75 last year?
76.
76? Okay, 77 or 78.
Yeah, I'm at 79.
I mean, the rotation is not good enough.
Yes.
That's the problem.
That's the problem, because you never get to what could be a lights-out bullpen. And I actually think, I had somebody ask me in the mailbag, is there any reason to get excited about the Pirates? Yes. Yes, there is. O'Neill Cruz, Key Brian Hayes, Mitch Keller, Skenes when he gets here. Maybe Henry Davis. There are reasons. I mean, you have two of the biggest unicorns in the sport eventually this season. O'Neill Cruz and Paul Skenes. Those are reasons to be excited. But the failure here, or I think the potential failure, is that they're not capitalized. Skeens isn't even here. When's he going to get here? Mackey says Memorial Day. That's too late. That's May 27th.
I told you if it's 2 weeks, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
If it's 2 weeks. If it's more than that, I think then now are you really trying to win?
He's talking 2 months. That's not good enough. Paul, we have a treat on the line right now. Former Steeler. Great guy. Speaking of being in the locker rooms.
Right.
And talking to people and pronouncing here today that there's way more good people than bad ones in sports.
Real quickly, just a quick breaking news.
Yes.
The Steelers had pushed for the rule change where they moved the trading deadline 1 week later.
Yeah.
It's been approved.
Yay.
Yay, the Steelers got to win.
That'll change everything. Well, here's one of the good guys, Trey Essex, former Steeler. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Trey, we really appreciate you joining us on short notice. Today is our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon to benefit the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. And I know that charitable causes were part of your time here, and I'm wondering if you could just speak in general to this idea that Paul and I have advanced today, that there's just way more good people than bad in sports, even though the bad ones sometimes get more headlines.
I totally agree. First of all, thanks for having me on. I know this is a pretty big deal, helping out the needy in the great city of Pittsburgh. I had to come up through some rough times being in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and if it wasn't for some helping hands and people doing what you guys are doing, I don't know where I would be. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. And, it's been quite the offseason, right, fellas?
Yeah. To put it mildly, yes.
To put it mildly, they basically took the Steelers model of trying to be a little cautious, threw it out the window, got rid of their first-round pick quarterback, and redid their entire quarterback room.
Yeah. But to your point, I truly do believe there are more good people in sports and in the world in general. I tend to be on the optimistic side of things, half-glass full type of guy, so I'm totally in that boat. But, yeah. When you see some of the moves that Omar has made this year, kind of flipping the script on what the Steelers have traditionally done throughout the years, this is by far the most exciting all season. And even before my time as a player for the great franchise in Pittsburgh, I was a fan of the Steelers growing up. Rod Woodson's from Fort Wayne, so I kind of latched on to him growing up and followed his career, and I was a Steelers fan even as a youngster. So to get drafted to my favorite team was always a blessing, and in like all my years as a Steelers fan, this is probably the most exciting offseason I've ever been a part of.
Well, if you're not following Trey on Twitter, I guess it's called X these days, you're missing stuff, because he has some of the best Steeler opinions out there, and it's at Trey Day 79. That's TRAIDAY 79. So I'm looking for some opinions here, Trey. A quick one on each of these guys.
Okay.
Pickett, Rudolph, Wilson, and Fields.
Pickett. I thought he got a bad hand to start his career, but also sometimes it just doesn't work out, and that's okay. Some guys go on to other places and are able to resurrect their career. So I'm happy that he's gotten that opportunity in Philadelphia. By all accounts, he seems like a great dude. So best of luck to him. But it just didn't work out in Pittsburgh. Mason was able to see a lot of him throughout the years. Came in under Ben and just – he's been a solid dude. Had to go through that whole drama thing with Myles Garrett and stuff. And so his opinions varied back and forth between him and – but he always seemed like a guy that was – beloved in the locker room by his teammates. I saw some pictures of him recently down with Pouncey and Villanueva, so he still keeps in contact with those guys. And another one who probably thought the end of his career was coming relatively close after this year, but was able to resurrect it with some good play towards the end of last year, and he's getting another opportunity in Tennessee. So glad to see that for him. And very excited about these two guys that we brought in, and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. It's going to bring a different brand of football to Pittsburgh, definitely something that we probably haven't seen as far as having the mobility at that position since Cordell Stewart. And so, but we got a guy with the pedigree and Wilson, who's been there, done that at a high level, at the highest of levels, probably a future Hall of Famer, and a guy with just unbelievable talent in Justin Fields, who I think everybody's excited to see what he can do with some stability and some good coaching and a mentor, Russell Wilson, to look up to.
When you look at Russell Wilson, and you know, he's obviously a guy who is what we would call borderline Hall of Famer, had an incredible career. You bring that guy to a team like the Steelers, mm-hmm. who are, you know, they seem like they're ready to win. Do you think that how long do you think it takes for a guy like that to sort of, you know, the chemistry and all that stuff to sort of come together so that they can make the kind of magic that people are hoping they're going to?
For a guy like him, for a guy with his type of resume, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. He doesn't have to prove himself. His reputation precedes him. And then, like I mentioned, he's won. He's won it all. And he has been there again a second time around. And so the young guys on the team can look at that and be like, okay, this isn't somebody that's learned the ropes just like me. This is somebody that actually teaches and get us there because he's done it before. He knows what it looks like. He knows how to perform when the situations and the stakes are at the highest because he's done it before and came through before. And so that type of confidence that you can have in a guy like that, you can't buy it. You can't draft it. It is there, and it's going to help mold and make this team get closer sooner rather than later because of that.
Trey Essex on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, kind enough to call in here on our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon to benefit the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. $1 can equal 3 meals. We've raised 80,000 meals plus. We're going to get a tote board update soon. Text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155 to contribute. Trey, you're the perfect guy to ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, well, first of all, left tackles still make more than right tackles, but you got T.J. Watt and others rushing from all over the place, sometimes where the right tackle is matched up against them. So does it matter? Is it important that Broderick Jones goes over to his natural left side, or doesn't it matter as much anymore?
It doesn't matter as much anymore from a scheme perspective. Because of what you just mentioned, the pass rushers, they move them around. We saw, especially this past year, our arch nemesis as far as T.J. Watt is concerned, the guy that he's always being compared to, Myles Garrett, moved all over the place. Left side, right side, rushed the middle quite often a lot, came from depth a few times. They do a good job with him over there moving him around. And so both your tackles have to be solid. Now, his main position is still over the left tackle. So you still, especially in our division, would like your best athlete and best tackle to be there, which I think is Broderick Jones. I don't know what they plan to do this offseason as far as the tackle situation is concerned. They still have the faith in Dan Moore Jr. He's been solid, if not by no means just spectacular, but just an average solid. And sometimes he has dipped below the level of play which you like, but they seem to have a lot of confidence in the kid. And so hopefully with another offseason under his belt, he can develop even more. But yeah, it doesn't matter these days as much as it has in the past because the athletes are everywhere. You're not just getting the speed guys on the right side or the offensive left side is what they used to do, have the speed guys on the left and then have the power guys rushing from the right side. No, because of how mobile these quarterbacks are, they got to have equal types of athleticism rushing both sides of the ball, and so therefore you need tackles to be able to do the same things on both sides.
You know, question a lot of people have, Trey, is whether the Steelers should draft a center or a tackle. I mean, you obviously have knowledge of these kinds of things. Is it realistic to think that where they draft, which I think is 20 or 21 or whatever it is, that they could get somebody who's a plug-and-play ready, or does it take a little bit of time for that position to – you know, for those guys that develop anyway? So, you know, if they're going to address it, they almost have to in free agency.
I think you can draft a center. The way centers are built these days, the guys that have played centers all their career through college, you can draft in the first, second, or third round because there's no learning curve for them. Now, the guys that you're trying to develop in the centers, the guys that are athletes that are center and guards throughout their college career that project to be center, those are the guys you need some time to develop through camp and maybe a couple years before they actually take those starting roles. But there are a couple of guys and Frazier out of West Virginia, and JPJ, another JPJ out of Oregon, Powers Jackson, who was who I think would be there around that draft pick, and also another guy who might be in the second and third round conversation is down here in Georgia where I'm at, and SVP, Van, I forgot. I just know his acronym for whatever, but he's the center for the Georgia last 3 years and is a two-time national championship and somebody who has a great chemistry from what I hear with Broderick. And so I think they're going to look very hard at him. And so those are your guys that have played center throughout their college career that you can put in the NFL and do a good job. You saw 2 years ago the Baltimore Ravens drafted a guy who I wanted, Tyler Lindenbaum, and he's developed into a Pro Bowl player from day one. And the same in Kansas City when they drafted Creed Humphrey. Mm. So you can find those guys in the draft in the first and second round, and you can expect them to perform at a high level when they've been doing it throughout their college career.
Man, it would be nice to find one of those guys. Lastly, yeah. Trey, it's been seven long years. 7 years. That's like twice the average NFL career without a playoff win. Is Mike Tomlin still the guy to take the Steelers back to the promised land?
I do. I think he is. I truly do. And I think that just the attitude going into this year, they see that we have a team that's ready to win now. We don't have that much longer with Cam, TJ, and Minka being our trio on the defensive side of the ball. So you got to take advantage of the last few years they'll have together and take advantage of it, because a guy like Cam maybe has a year or two left because the body, by the time, is undefeated. You may have a few more with TJ and Minka, but you saw that they're starting to develop some injuries over the years. So you want to be able to take advantage, and how they've attacked this offseason lets me know that they have full confidence that they could do that. They knew they had to add some big pieces at the quarterback position, obviously, and that wide receiver. We still have probably some work to do there. But the way they're going about it lets me know that they have full faith in Tomlin to make this turnaround, and I think this is the year we get over that hump.
Oh, one more came to mind before we let you go. This hip drop tackle. I see former players, current players, not real happy with this. Thoughts?
It's tough. Like, you don't practice tackling somebody from behind in practice, you know? And so this is just a way that the guys have had to tackle humongous running backs like Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. I feel sorry for the defenders because you really are limiting their options on how they can bring somebody down. And so I get the safety concern. It doesn't seem like it really warranted this type of – because it's such a subjective play. When somebody is trying to tackle somebody from behind and use their body weight to bring them down, it really makes it hard for defenders. I wasn't in agreement with the rule change. It's going to be really tough for defense to play defense.
Trey, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
man. Trey Essex. You can find him on Twitter at TreyDay79.
Go ahead.
TreyDay79. He's also the co-host. You just heard him. He's entertaining. He's got big opinions, not afraid to share them, at the One Pod Me Up podcast. Check it out, seriously, because he's great.
Yeah, and I was going to say it's interesting how many players and former players are steadfastly behind Mike Tomlin. No, I mean, you know, I bet you if you ask, I don't know, you talk to him every week, but I bet you if you ask Chris Hoke, he'd probably be like, Tomlin's still the guy, right? Or
more or less.
You know what
more
I mean?
More or less, yeah.
But it's amazing. Like I said, these are the guys that play.
We can ask Hoke that later.
Right.
He's coming on at one.
Right. And so my thing there is, it's amazing how steadfastly behind Mike Tomlin they are.
It is. I mean, would you expect differently, though? There's one. Here's the thing about Tomlin. I like him. He's really likable. Did you see that phone call he had last night?
Yeah.
With the mom of a reporter. I don't know who the reporter was, but they're at the owners' meetings. He's outside in a hotel bar or whatever, and the guy's mom is sick, and Tomlin got on the line and talked to her. He's so likable a guy, and he engenders goodwill with most of his players.
But I think he's actually. Put it this way, he's a really good man.
Yes,
he's a great face of the organization. He's a guy, as we talk about, who's involved in lots of different charities. Him and his wife are involved in lots of different charities. He clearly cares about the community. He clearly, you know what I mean? He's a good dude.
For sure.
But you know what? There's a lot of good dudes I don't want coaching my team.
And he's a good coach. I just don't know if it's coach. Working here
right.
anymore. That's the problem.
I mean, I honestly feel like it's one of those things where it's the same discussion we have
with Sully.
With Mike Sullivan. Good guy, good face of the organization.
Who won a lot at the beginning.
Yes. You know, and through the Penguins charities and stuff, is involved in a lot of stuff in the community. I mean, there's a lot of good dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk.
That's part of the problem.
We're going to talk to more as the show goes on. Everybody pitching in today. It's the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon to benefit the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. $1 equals 3 meals. We got our power board out there. Is that what we're calling it, Paul?
Yes.
You commit to $11 a year. You get your name up on that board.
Champions board. That's what it's
called. Yes, the champions board. You can do that. Here's the ways that you can pitch in. 93.7thefan.com, online donation center. Text NEED to 50155 or call 412-663-5664. All the teams in town chipping in, and a bunch of individuals. We're going to have Jay Caulfield later, Chris Hoke later on today. Both those guys have been heavily involved in charity work in their careers. You just heard Trey Essex, Steige. Again, the Pirates pitching in big time, helping us on this show in particular. Mark Garda and company want to express our thanks to him. It's Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. JP's going to join us at some point. He just got an award, a national award, because part of what he does, in addition to roofs and siding, is it roofs or roofs, Paul? Roofs? It couldn't be roofs, could it? Roofs.
Roofs.
Yeah,
yes.
Roofs. Is that he does a lot of good work in the community. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line, of course, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's 10:37, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you.
Joe, I got a couple things for us here before we head to a break. First off, I got a call from Tim in Churchill, who, this is a really cool idea. They had a swear jar that they've been putting together at Carl's Tavern for the entire year.
Zeiss could have become a billionaire if he had a swear jar next to him.
And so it added up to $350, and that's what they donated to this great cause.
Tim.
So we have that. So we appreciate Tim from Churchill and everyone that swore, I suppose, at Carl's Tavern. Also,
that is
all
incredible.
Throughout today's shows, at the 39-minute mark of every hour, we are going to have an update. And as you see, we just hit 10:39. So why don't we go ahead and do that with our tote board update right now.
That means that Brian Gulish has entered the building. Brian, that was like you were walking up the stairs at old Chicago Stadium.
That was quite an entrance right there.
With music and everything.
To break Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, where's my entrance music?
That was quite. You know, we're gonna we'll tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna, next time you come through there, we'll have a little smoke machine.
That is great. What do we got, Brian?
All right, we are currently at 94,590 meals.
Beautiful, which is almost 15,000 from 15 minutes ago.
One of the things,
a half hour ago.
One of the things we're supposed to do is talk in terms of meals and not dollars. So the Churchill guys whoever it was from Carl's, they basically donated 1,050 meals.
Amazing. Brian, thanks for coming in. We'll talk to you in an hour, okay?
Thank you.
All right. We'll get
what
to
what is it, 94,000?
94,590.
We got 20 minutes to try and get to 100.
Let's do it. Let's do
that.
And let's talk. Oh, yeah, of course we can. Let's talk Pirates predictions. Paul has 78?
78 wins.
I got 79 wins. What do you have at 412-928-9370? Welcome back to our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon to benefit the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. We're going to talk about something that really irritated Paul and I in the world of sports. Yes, we're both easily irritable, but this one was really annoying. But first, let's go to the general. Jeff Patton, General Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. He really helped us kick off this whole thing last week by hosting us at his place. And I might add, General, that my autographed framed large photo of Jack Youngblood and Merlin Olsen has taken a prominent place in the man cave, that my wife, who was reluctant to put up any photos in the living room, I bought that little, or really you gifted me the little drawing of the Pittsburgh skyline. That now she agreed to put that in the living room. She loved that. So three of your things, I'm forgetting what the third one was, have now taken residence in our home, and I thank you for that.
No problem. Appreciate you guys having me this morning.
We appreciate everything you've done for us, and especially for the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon, General, and I know that's the reason you're calling today. What's happening?
It's just an honor to be a part of it. In fact, let's jumpstart today, and let's throw in another $500 from Baseball Card Castle today.
Amazing, man.
That's a very generous of you.
Truly well, generous of you, yes.
One of the things that you and I both have the luxury of doing is analyzing numbers for a living. Sports is made up of numbers, and when I was exposed to the number three for a dollar, that you could buy three meals for a dollar, it dawned on me that no one should be hungry, right? We can all help. It's not something you have to come up with $1 million for when they can leverage their resources to gain three meals for a dollar. When they told me that, I said, no, you mean $3 a meal. They said, no, three meals for a dollar. We got to help. You know, there should be nobody that's hungry when we all have the capability of pitching in.
And the ways to help are to go online, the Metropolitan Window Company Online Donation Center, 937thefan.com. Simply text NEED to 50155 or call 412-663-5664. And we also have our champions board out there where if you commit to $11, what is it, $11 per
what? It's $11 per month.
Yeah.
If you that will feed somebody every day for the entire year. If you donate $11 per month, you'll be called our champion. You'll be called a champion of Feed the Need, and we have a tote board out here where we'll put your name up there, and I think there's some other things that go into as far as incentives for being a champion.
Well, General, you're a champion, and we appreciate everything you do, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow for Starkey's Card of the Week.
Thanks, gentlemen. If there's anything else I can do for you, give me a call.
Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Anytime. Take care.
All right, Paul. You and I were ticked off last night. I didn't know it until we started talking about it today with Crowley, but I watch a lot of basketball. You watch a lot and coach it. You coach girls basketball. AAU.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time I saw a team play harder, maybe as hard, but rarely harder than the West Virginia women at Iowa last night. And I agree with Damian Lillard, who tweeted out that they're getting done bad here by the officials. That was just crap in the fourth quarter. They deserved a better fate. Every time Caitlin Clark goes to the basket, she's drawing a foul, and West Virginia never could. It irritated me beyond belief. It wasn't basketball justice, in my opinion.
Not at all. And I think one of the things, listen, here's the thing, okay? The women's tournament is still set up like a tournament that doesn't have a really particularly deep field. And the other part of it is they're still not to the point where they can sell tickets just organically, which is why the top four seeds all get home games for the first two rounds. I'm okay with it because at least they earn it. At least it's not some arbitrary thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least they earn it. So there's going to be a little bit of edge or advantage to the home teams. But the two games I watched this weekend, one involving LSU and one involving Iowa, were absolutely absurd. It was almost like somebody got on the mic or got on the phone from wherever the women's basketball headquarters are and told these referee crews, we need Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark in the Sweet 16 and beyond. So do whatever you got to do to help them win the game. I mean, LSU's was a little different because they started blowing the game open in the middle of the third quarter, right? And they ended up winning by like 20 or 30.
Yeah.
Last night's, but still, they shot 37 free throws to like 7 for Middle Tennessee. But last night was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment because the game was really played hard. It was physical. Both teams went at it. You know, this whole thing, well, you know, the difference is because Iowa was in the zone. Yeah, but Iowa was in a zone, but they were playing really aggressively out on the front of the zone.
They
were fouling the point guards out front every single time if you're going to call fouls. For them to have 14 free throw points and only two field goals, I'm sorry, only one field goal in the fourth quarter, and West Virginia didn't shoot a free throw in the fourth quarter, I'm sorry, anybody that watched that game and thought it was that lopsided in terms of, you know, West Virginia was really aggressive. You know, the Iowa fanboys are, oh, well, West Virginia was playing really aggressive. There should have been more fouls. No, both teams were going at it. It was a physical game.
It was a great game that was marred by the officiating. It was.
And the thing about it is, again, I'm okay with a little bit of home cooking. It's going to happen. But I said this last night on X. This game, you know what this game was officiated like, Joe? Huh. It was officiated like...
The backyard brawl?
No, it was officiated like
13-9?
A November bye game.
Yeah.
You know, like where you know, Pitt's playing Maryland Eastern Shore, and the game's a little bit tight, and the officiating crew all of a sudden magically starts calling foul after foul after foul on Maryland Eastern Shore. That's what this game was officiated like. It was literally officiated like a game where they said, we need Caitlin Clark in the Sweet 16, so do whatever you got to do.
Man, I was into it because of how hard they were playing defensively, West Virginia. I wanted them to win.
Listen,
Damian Lillard, this tweet in the middle of the fourth quarter. I feel like West Virginia women's team getting did bad by these refs. He's right. I was going to talk about this today anyway with this topic, whether it's NBA, college hoops, men, women, even high school. Nothing infuriates me more than the offensive player on a drive initiating contact,
right,
and getting the benefit of a foul call in an and-one. That's not the way it works. If I'm standing there playing good, solid defense, maybe even backing up in some instances, and you barge into me and then back off and score, that ain't a foul on me, and it happens way too much. Does it happen in your AAU games?
Yeah, it does. I tell you, one of the things also, that's a call a referee was waiting to make. Without actually watching the play, that call was 100. You could see that call was going to be made at the top of the key. I know what call you're talking about.
Where she took the left hand
and went
in.
Puts her shoulder into, and here's the worst part about it. As a referee, if you see that, okay, the West Virginia girl actually backs off.
Yes.
That's never a foul in any sport, in any game,
shouldn't be,
at any level that I've ever coached at, I've ever played at, and I've even refereed games. That is never a foul when a girl. If anything, it's an offensive foul.
If you're going to be ticky tack, it's an offensive foul.
There was a charge that was. They had a charging call earlier in that quarter. I don't know if you remember the charging call where the girl's running back. She sets her feet and then she moves her feet again.
Yes.
It's not
a
charge.
She reloaded.
That's a blocking call. And you know what? If it had been on the other end, it would have been a blocking call.
Caitlin Clark gets near the basket. They're calling something every time. Yeah. I just got into it.
I was livid. Here's the other thing. You know what? You want to talk about that? I mean, I'm tired of hearing about, oh, well, you know, she's a competitor. You know what? There's a lot of people that compete with it that don't whine to the referees every single time. You know, it's all she does is whine to the referees the entire game. I watched the kid right after that. I watched Juju Watkins from South Carolina.
Yeah.
What a joy to watch her play. First of all, she's going to break every one of Caitlin Clark's records. And then all of a sudden, the generational player that we're told has never played the game before, her records are going to be beaten by this kid who's a freshman, who's, by the way, 6'2". And if you haven't seen her, she's smooth. She just plays, man. She just plays. Really kind of a flat line of motion kind of thing. which is why she won't ever be as hyped as maybe some, because she's just so smooth.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.